Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation for part two of the interview with Sandra Higgins via Skype in Ireland. Sandra is the founder and director of Go Vegan World, an international vegan advertising campaign that she launched in 2015 in Ireland, and it is now currently up in the UK with billboards on highways, in shopping malls, in city squares, on street posters, in universities, as well as on television. The first vegan television ads. Sandra is also a psychologist, and she is the founder and director of Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Ireland. And also in the show, Alfie Westgroves from Worcester, Massachusetts will be joining us with Alfie's vegan parenting tip number 22, a segment featured on Vegan Nation the first Friday of every month. And now we'll be joined again by Sandra Higgins. Thank you very much, Sandra, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, for having me.
Let's start out with a recap of where the billboards are up in the UK, and starting with the largest billboard in Europe on Highway M6.
It's a beautiful billboard. It's digital. So it stands out at all times of the day, and even at night it stands out really nice. So it ran for 14 days with a different ad every day.
That's encouraging. It's very encouraging. And I'd love to hear more about the video ad that's in the city square.
Yeah, well, there are video ads all over the city centre. So they're in shopping centres, they're on the biggest screens, two of the biggest screens in the city centre, and then they're on digital screens right throughout what they call the loop, so right throughout the city centre. And they focus on other animals enjoying their lives, that they have a right to be here, they have a right to their lives, that they don't want to die. So some of the ads show the natural affinity that children have with other animals. And then there's the series, They Trust Us, We Butcher Them.
Here's the Go Vegan World ad that is currently playing on television stations in the UK.
Like humans, a cow produces milk to feed her newborn calves. She has an emotional bond with her babies, like humans and their babies. But her children will be taken away from her so we can consume her milk. Losing her child is every mother's worst nightmare. You can stop this by going vegan today at goveganworld.com.
And something that I wanted to convey in the campaign about the lovely natures of the animals that we're harming. Of course, it wouldn't matter what they were like, even if they didn't have a very nice nature. What we do to them is still unjust. But it's something that I really wanted to convey to people, because everybody thinks that they love other animals. And I wanted to show them this affectionate, trusting relationship between not just the dogs and cats and horses, but the chickens and pigs and goats and lambs that we hurt every day.
We're listening to Sandra Higgins, the founder and director of Go Vegan World, an international education site and billboard campaign. Sandra is also the founder and director of the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Ireland. Little musical interlude was The Swallow's Tale by Dervish, one of Sandra Higgins' favorite. And now we'll continue our conversation with Sandra Higgins. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene.
I'm covering a lot of universities in the UK. You know, the people who are most likely to go vegan are educated young women. There's been a 360% increase in the number of vegans in the UK in the last decade.
360% increase?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. the message is getting out there.
And Sandra, could you please explain more about eggs?
Chickens are like any other bird, like a blackbird or a robin, and in their natural state only lay one or two clutches a year for the purposes of hatching their babies. And we've bred them to lay about 300 eggs a year. So this takes a huge toll on their bodies. And some of the common illnesses that we would see in hens rescued from the egg industry. And this is true whether they are backyard hens, or they live on free-range farms, or they lived on organic farms. They have very high rates of bone fractures because they're losing so much calcium to produce the shell of the egg. They suffer regular respiratory infections because their lungs are very small in comparison to their ancestors. They also suffer a lot of infection because of the eggs themselves. So if the eggs are laid internally, or any of the yolk escapes into their abdomen, they develop peritonitis, which is very, very sickening and can be fatal if it's not treated immediately. And the rates of reproductive cancer in egg-laying hens are 100% if they live long enough. They're so high that egg-laying hens are used as a model to study reproductive cancer in human women. In response to heart disease or liver disease, their body will produce ascites fluid and fill up, compressing their lungs so that they can't breathe, compressing their crop and their intestinal system so that they can't eat. So we would regularly have to syringe out that fluid and treat the underlying cause at Eden, especially in egg-laying hens, but also in chickens used in the meat industry. They suffer egg binding, where they're unable to lay the egg, or sometimes an egg turns as it's been laid and it's coming through the chicken's body. If there's a little nodule at one end of the egg, it can just stick and they're not able to lay it, and it's really desperately uncomfortable. The very weight of all the eggs in their bodies is uncomfortable. We've seen the necropsies here at Eden, and sometimes the eggs, huge amount, like a big pot of eggs, is cooked inside them. Their own body temperature has cooked all these eggs inside them. We've seen tumours almost as big as the hen's body herself. So the range of suffering is dreadful. Where they begin life in the hatcheries is a torturous existence. The babies are hatched without any mothers, and everybody's mother teaches them how to survive in life, teaches them to control their own emotions, teaches them that their needs can be met in life and how to get their needs met and how to survive. They're deprived of all that. They're deprived of the chance to socialize, to form relationships, to have their own purpose in life. We take everything from them. And then we kill them at 18 months. Their natural lifespan is at least 12 years. In fact, we think now it may be much longer.
18 months compared to 12 years.
The very fact that we breed somebody for the purpose of killing them, you know, it's just frightening, especially when you see the turkeys here and you see the way they run after you to hug you. You'd feel so ashamed.
I know.
Really would, you know.
And that we as humans do not need to be eating the ovulation secretions of these birds. So could you explain a little bit more about that to get an understanding of the things that go wrong because they've been genetically manipulated through selective breeding to excessively ovulate?
Their cycle is different to a mammal. So some mammals will be fertile every month, whereas birds are just fertile at a certain period of the year. And we have maximized their capacity to lay eggs so that they're laying eggs, you know, around 300 eggs a year. It's the equivalent, really, of a fertility cycle and ovulation, and for them also childbirth, because that is the process for a chicken. She will lay her eggs and sit on them for 21 days, whereas our babies grow internally and then we give birth. So for her, that is the equivalent of giving birth. And the fact that her eggs are taken from her every day is a frustration of her instincts.
Please give us some information about the welfare campaigns, especially the political one, such as the one that just happened in Massachusetts.
Welfare, it results in higher profits for farmers. We had it in Ireland we had the welfare laws that banned the barren battery cages and introduced the enriched battery cages, and the consumption of eggs increased on foot of that legislation. You cannot regulate something that's unjust in the first place. You can't regulate these atrocities. People should look at the Irish situation and read that report that I wrote on the egg industry. Other activists are using it. Emily from Bite Size Vegan has got great use out of that report. And it shows how all this legislation that costs so much money for egg-laying hens gave them nothing meaningful. And at the end of the day, more Irish people ate eggs, or Irish people ate an increased number of eggs. Welfare legislation is going to perpetuate animal use. It's a waste of time. It's an absolute waste of time. It makes people feel comfortable about using other animals. It does not address justice. If you had a group of abused children or abused women or slaves, as we had in the past, and you had welfare legislation for how the abusers treat their victims, those victims would never have escaped. We'd never have had justice. We'd never have had women's rights. We'd have no children's rights legislation. Slavery would not be illegal today. It doesn't mean slavery, the problem of slavery is over. It's not. We've more slaves than we ever had. But at least we all know it's wrong. And at least it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm criticising other activists. I'm criticising their activism.
Thank you, Sandra. And we all know as vegan activists that denial and silencing is the defense mechanism of animal consuming culture. And so many times vegans are silenced if they are not in control, and so they're not able to share the information in an educational setting or a religious setting or even conversational.
I think it's one of the beauties of Go Vegan World is that the animals are enabled through this campaign to do the activism themselves. So whether we're there or not, as long as the campaign is up on the streets, it's there day and night. Whether the people are there doing the activism or not, the animals are there asking for what they want, and the public can see it. And I think that's very powerful, and I wish that we could have more of that. We have to keep talking about it. People think that domestication is one of the best things that we ever did, whereas actually it was the most violent thing that has ever been done in the history of human evolution. And they think that it's only about animal welfare. They think if it's good animal welfare, that's absolutely the pinnacle of all they can expect from us. And animal rights and animal justice doesn't enter into the equation. But we have to keep bringing that up. We have to keep challenging that.
Yes, that's what it takes, right? Keeping the conversation going.
Yeah.
And I found that the conversation is most often stifled, even in educational institutions, including health and animal wellness.
It's just not on people's radar. I've had this even in some of my own psychology training, when we would talk about dissociation or the treatment of trauma. And I would always now include other animals as well as talking about humans. And when the trainer takes everybody's points and writes them on the board, but when I talk about other animals, they always leave my point off. So, and I always make a point during the break of going up and writing what I said.
You're all right.
Yeah, because, you know, breaking the attachment bonds between a mother and her baby in the dairy industry, taking people's freedom away from them, how we control their lives, how we deny and minimise the impact of our abuse of and use of them. Yeah, that gets totally erased when I'm in a human psychology environment. Or sometimes even the fact that you ask for a vegan lunch gets very conveniently ignored. But of course, we have this legislation in Europe that protects people on the basis of their conscience, their belief in veganism. So, of course, that's there for the good of humans. But that, I think that can be used to very great effect to further animal rights.
We're listening to Sandra Higgins via Skype in Ireland. Sandra is the founder and director of the Go Vegan World International Billboard campaign that's currently up in the UK on television ads, as well as digital billboards on buildings and shopping malls in Scotland, Glasgow, Scotland, as well as on buses and trains and all over the place. And Sandra is also the founder and director of Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Ireland. After the break, we'll continue our conversation with Sandra, and we'll also be joined by Elfie Westgroves here in Worcester, Massachusetts, with Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 22.
Hey, this is Andrew from Troop 110 Milbury. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
And this is Yasha Maleski just reminding you that our fund drive is still going on, and we depend on you and our sponsors to keep WCUW on the air. As you know, we're a nonprofit organization. So for $25 for a senior or $50 for a non-senior, and also $25 for students, you can send a check to WCUW, 910 Main Street, Worcester, Massachusetts. That's WORCESTER. The zip code is 01610.
Tune in to Vegan Nation every Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for music, news, and events about the vegan lifestyle right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and around the world at WCUW.org.
Start your day elevated in the mind, body, and spirit connection on The Journey with me, Sunta Africa, every Saturday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on 91.3 FM, WCUW, and worldwide at WCUW.org.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are joined by Sandra Higgins via Skype in Ireland. Sandra is a psychologist, and she is the founder and director of Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary and also the Go Vegan World billboard campaign that's currently up in England and was previously up in Ireland, and it's an international campaign. And so we'll hear more details about that. And as of last week, the campaign is now running in Scotland, Glasgow, Scotland, as well as television ads on TV stations in the UK. Thanks again, Sandra, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marley.
And I'd like to start the second half of our interview with your ad that is now playing on three television stations in the UK. And then after we finish with our interview, we'll be joined by Alfie Westgroves with Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips, which is the first Friday of every month on Vegan Nation. And this is Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 22. And then we'll continue our conversation about how discussion of animal justice and veganism is pretty much ignored and denied by most of the population.
Like humans, a cow produces milk to feed her newborn calves. She has an emotional bond with her babies, like humans and their babies. But her children will be taken away from her so we can consume her milk. Losing her child is every mother's worst nightmare. You can stop this by going vegan today at goveganworld.com.
And so when I think, why is there such the resistance? And then it's like becomes very clear to me when I think of it with critical thinking skills, is that it's easy for us to look at someone who's committing violence and say, well, that person is a rapist or that person is a serial killer. And we can easily detach because we're not the ones doing it. And I see why so many of the non-vegans who don't want to discuss it, because when we're participating in the animal use, we are the perpetrators. So, of course, nobody wants to include that.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's the same as the welfare legislation. If we recognize that other animals are sentient, like we are, and that they have an interest in their own lives and in staying alive and in avoiding unnecessary pain and suffering, the natural consequence of that is that we don't use them. And if people are profiting in whatever way from the use of other animals, then that's a barrier to them changing their behavior. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's silenced. because we've grown up in a species of society where the most trivial of our desires are more important than their basic needs, the most important needs.
And I'm very grateful for WCUW Community Radio for allowing us free speech and the ability to share this information. And Sandra, we're coming to a close in the interview. Are there any additional messages that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I'd be really grateful to people if they could support this campaign. Share it with people, share it with other vegans. Every vegan has non-vegan friends. So please share it with the non-vegans in your life. Also share it with the vegans in your life, because by doing that, lots of non-vegans will see it. We're really pleased with the number of vegan guides that are being downloaded. It's a free vegan guide. People find it very useful. Even a lot of professionals, doctors, dietitians and nutritionists have asked me for copies of it for their practice. So it's good, it's free. People have nothing to lose by downloading it. So I'd be really grateful to people if they could support this campaign. It's the longest running and the biggest animal rights campaign that has ever run, and we'd like to keep it going for longer, and we can't do it without your support.
And Sandra, for those who might just be tuning in to 91.3 FM, can you give us a recap of the current campaign?
So the current campaign is in the West Midlands area of the UK. It's on the biggest billboard in Europe on the motorway. It's on video screens throughout the city centre. It's on the public transport system, on taxis and at railway stations, and it's in the universities. And there's also a big social media campaign that most of us don't see, because it targets non-vegans. So that runs all the time as well. It gets around 25 million views every month, I think.
Congratulations. And this is goveganworld.com. And also congratulations on the Media Award.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'd never designed anything before, but I've quite enjoyed the process of designing it and using the photographs of the residents at Eden here. Photographer Agatha has taken really beautiful photographs here. I've really enjoyed the design process, so I'm working on some new ads at the moment.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sandra Higgins. And what contact information can you leave for our listeners?
You can contact me through the goveganworld.com or through the umbrella organization, EdenFarmedAnimalSanctuary.com.
Is there any specific plan for where Go Vegan World billboard campaign will be next?
Yeah, the next campaign is very shortly in Glasgow, and it'll be in London later in the year. And then we have some bigger campaigns planned for next year in the UK before it moves to Europe. We might have another look at Ireland as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Sandra Higgins.
Thank you, Marlene. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You as well. And we greatly appreciate you joining us on Vegan Nation, and we greatly appreciate your power and work in creating a vegan world and freeing the animals.
Thank you. My power comes from the residents at Eden. It wouldn't be powerful at all if it wasn't for them.
Your work is so powerful and so important. Thank you.
Well, I think this campaign is really lovely. Children in particular were taking a lot of notice of it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been a big increase in traffic to the website and the vegan guide.
Well, that's great, because we need more vegans and more vegan activists.
And you know what else, Marlene? We need experts. I keep saying this to people. We need doctors, lawyers, bakers, dietitians, people who write poetry, people who write music. Whatever people are good at, they can give to the animal rights movement. But we need a lot more experts.
Right, that's our call to action.
Yeah, because we need dietitians talking about plant diets.
Right. I'm inspired by seeing that video of you in the Birmingham streets with the other vegan activists.
I mean, that day of activism, people stopped. They were interested to talk to us. Everybody said, "I never knew this." They were surprised. They were interested. They took the vegan guides. They took the free food. It was all very positive. And if you look at that 360% increase in the number of vegans in the UK, well, through that, we'll get all those people bringing their skills and their love and their passion to the movement. You know, at least I hope we will.
And I'm going to hope that all this grassroots work, that it's soon going to reach the tipping point, and then we'll have the experts and we'll have all the vegan activists on board, sharing and motivating.
Yeah, I hope so. And then for the people who don't care, they will just buy what they want to buy. And if there are no animal products in the shops, they'll buy the vegan alternatives and they won't even know the difference.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, Sandra, this was lovely speaking with you. Thank you very much.
You too, Marlene. Thank you very much. Take good care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That concludes our two-part interview with Sandra Higgins, a psychologist in Ireland and the founder and director of Eden Farm Animal Sanctuary and the Go Vegan World International billboard and advertising campaign that is currently up in the UK. You can hear Sandra's previous interviews at wcuw.org/vegannation. Sandra has joined us via Skype in Slane County, Meath, Ireland. I have a public service announcement. There's a free event for caregivers, those who are caring for their loved ones with dementia, depression, or PTSD. It's being held at the Worcester Senior Center on Tuesday, December 6th, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The free event includes vegan meals provided from Loving Hut Vegan Restaurant. That's at the Worcester Senior Center, 128 Providence Street in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now we're moving on to Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tips, featured the first Friday of every month on Vegan Nation. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Clean up your toys. That's my clean up song at home. Make some noise. And they go like, doesn't look at Trey, gives me like she's 14 years old already. Okay, all set?
Yeah.
This is Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 22. As a parent, you always want what's best for your kids. I put my foot down over candy and soda binges. I limit or even have eliminated from our diets unhealthy things like high fructose corn syrup, artificial food color, weird preservatives, and hydrogenated oils. It's my way of promoting healthy eating habits and respect of our own bodies. When non-vegans see me as simply imposing my values on my children, I explain the thoughtful communication around our lifestyle and remind that passing on your values to your children is the tradition. After all, they are only really bothered because veganism is not the traditional diet. The judgment comes from their disagreement and or their ignorance around my values. I feel compelled to promote the values of anti-oppression and compassionate living through veganism. Because not only is it healthy for their body, it is healthy for their spirit. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip. But remember, there's more beneath the surface.
I like my mommy. I like anyone in the whole town. Our solstice the pig. Please go vegan for the human beings. Please go vegan for the animals too.
Join us again next week at the same time to hear more news on living a vegan lifestyle. You can listen to this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Joseph Peck. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.